Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, regular listeners, you may have spotted that we've changed our name. It's now Honey & Co. The Food Sessions.
So if you hear this sound, it's just us making dinner.
Well, that and the fact that we're not allowed to use our old title anymore.
It's just been a bit of a thing, but don't worry about it.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, thank you for downloading this episode of the Honey & Co. Once a month, we invite someone we admire for a chat in front of a small audience in our deli, Honey & Spice. Every speaker gives us the opportunity to cook food inspired by their cuisine for the audience to try. We sit back with a glass of wine and hear all about the life made in food. This week, we're joined by the terrific Laura Jackson and Alice Levin. The TV and radio presenters met at a jumble sale a few years ago and hit it off immediately. They started running a supper club together, and their events quickly became London's hottest dinner party. Now the girls have written a rule book to end all rule books on entertaining in your own home. I had the great pleasure of cooking from their book, Round to Ours. It is an excellent book. I enjoyed cooking from it very much. The recipes are clear. The results are delicious. Keep listening if you want to know the ultimate tips for having people round to yours, how to keep an eclectic mix of guests dining long into the night, and what happens when you put the Dirty Dancing soundtrack on at a dinner party.
I became aware of this book because I was following Alice on Instagram. I'm listening to the... Are there any Belinkas here? No?
Oh, yeah. You don't have to put your hands up now.
And it's the podcast that Alice takes part in. And I saw the cover for the cookbook, and I was sort of having to double take, and I had a giggle because it's so cool. I'm just gonna, do you see it? I'm just gonna describe it for the podcast. It's these two girls standing behind a floral wallpaper in buttoned up floral dresses in front of a beautifully laid table. And it's kind of a little bit nostalgic, a little bit cheeky, a little bit ironic, and a little bit kind of
Laura
just
Ashley.
A little bit Laura Ashley, yeah. It's just so cozy. And then I really wanted these guys to come here, and they agreed. Actually, I accosted Alice on the street and asked her to come to True Story.
You just screamed my name.
Yeah. Yes. It was like that. It's a beautiful book, and what's nice about it is that it's just fun. It's just very easy. It doesn't take itself too seriously. But it's the food is gorgeous. I cooked everything you're going to eat today. And it's all, you know, the recipes are so easy to follow, so simple. And the result, I think, was delicious. If you don't think it's delicious, it's the recipe's fault. Not the chef's fault. But I thought they were really, really good.
And if you don't think it's delicious, that was one of Laura's.
Yeah. There's a lot of passing the blame.
Yeah,
nobody takes responsibility. Yeah. But you won't, because it's all really good. The girls, you are both from media. That's your background.
Yeah. We kind of do similar jobs. We both are broadcasters. We both work in TV and radio. So that's sort of how we met, but it's not. We should have met before we met, really.
Yeah.
A friend introduced us, not on purpose. She
was it
asked
love
us,
at first sight?
It was love at first sight. Well, it was for me. I don't know about Laura. This could be a really awkward revelation
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Laura's like, it's not even love now.
Yeah. It grows.
Yeah. Just give it time. We met at a jumble sale, which is very East London of us.
Yeah.
For charity.
Yeah. We don't like
it's always for charity.
For charity.
Yeah.
A very different proposition from working in media and broadcasting to actually, you know, cooking for money.
Yes.
How did
we
this happen?
We haven't sorted the money bit out yet.
Yeah.
We haven't quite got that.
I didn't say
out.
A lot of money, but for some money.
We are making millions.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure now you do. Now you've hit the big time.
I wish.
I guess we wanted to do something that we both were passionate about, and actually outside of TV and radio, like we both love food. So we'd talk about food and we'd email exchange like new openings or places that had lunch menus that were cheap because we didn't have much money, but we had loads of time. And we went from kind of going out and dating and then cooking for each other at home to going, hey, we should start a project that's food related because it's so fun and it's something that we bonded over. And it was something so completely different to TV and radio. I think it was a time where they were both quite separate. People like Deliciously Ella had just started, and that was kind of an overlap of younger people doing television, media and food, but no one was kind of doing what we wanted to do in food. So we thought, hey, we'll just give it a go, we'll just do it as a hobby, see where it takes us.
And it was completely separate. It was kind of always supposed to be completely separate from work, because
we didn't think the two could marry, if that makes sense, because it was like, oh, this is our job and this is what we do after work's finished. Yeah, so the journey of it's been kind of fun, realizing that I guess, well, it is now our job because it's our business as well as being broadcasters and things. But yeah, it's kind of been like a fun, interesting journey that's kind of happened by accident, but for all the right reasons.
And you started doing supper clubs.
Yeah, we started doing supper clubs.
In your home?
So in Laura's house, we started them. And the idea initially was just to give ourselves a bit of a challenge, because like Laura said, we weren't from a food background, but we loved food. And we also wanted to write about food and talk about food. And you kind of have to have some sort of authority to do that, and because we hadn't got any restaurant training, or you know, we hadn't worked in kitchens, but we really loved to cook, we were like, well, is there a way to do this and be home cooks? Is there a way to I guess show that we're more than just girls that like to go out for lunch, which we do, but is there a way to kind of put some weight behind this and show that we actually can put our money where our mouth is, money's where our mouths are, whatever the plural is. So yeah, the first one we held at Laura's flat for 20 people, or 16 people, wasn't it? Because we didn't have enough chairs, so 16 people. And it was an experiment, really. It was like, we didn't know what a supper club was, we didn't know what the rules were. So, I mean, even now, we kind of just make the rules up for what suits
us. You wrote the rules now.
Do you think we wrote the rules?
I think you wrote the rules. Yeah, this is the supper club rule book, no?
Oh, okay, yeah.
A little bit.
The Bible, the supper club Bible.
Yeah, just, you know, a humble little Bible for the supper club. Was it very hard? Like, I know from experience, like, always when you cook for people, you know, especially that you don't know and that, you know, people are paying for dinner, it's fun and, you know, very gratifying, but it can be horribly wrong.
It can be really stressful, yeah.
It can and it can be really a painful
horrible
experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's times when we've had Domino's on speed dial when we've gone, okay, if it doesn't work, like, everyone likes pizza, so we give them a glass of wine and a slice of pizza.
Did you really?
Well, no, but you know, when you think, if it does go wrong, if we burn everything, or if, I don't know, if something awful happens.
But that's only half a joke, because our evenings are about the food, of course, but it's not, you know, you guys are doing something so different here. Like, you are professional, amazing restaurant people.
Continue.
Who we love dearly. But we don't have all of that background, and we are home cooks. So we had to kind of offer something else as well. So our evenings are about having a great night. So if, say, all the food did go wrong, that would be disastrous, but we kind of have to just make sure people still have a great night. So like Laura says, you would order pizza and make sure everyone got really drunk and give them loads of red wine, because that's what you'd do if you had friends over for dinner and your oven broke.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to, you know, we don't have a big professional kitchen, and we don't have, you know, a chef who's used to doing 900 covers. It's just me and Laura. So if something does go wrong, you just have to be a bit imaginative, really, and stuff does go wrong all the time, but we practice as well, because we're not cooking for these numbers all the time. So if we're making a dish that we've never made before, we will practice in like the weeks leading up to it. So, you know, everyone will have to eat that for about a month before we actually get
the lemon tarts.
The lemon tarts. Don't get started on
the lemon tarts.
Lemon tarts aren't supposed to be liquid, are they? Well, some of the ones we made were.
You know the famous Massimo Bottura one that he dropped the lemon tart?
Yes.
And then made a dish of it.
Chef table.
Oh,
there you go. You were there first.
We should have done. We deconstructed the lemon tart first.
Yeah, ours was more like a smoothie with a straw. Yeah.
It is, I
That's
don't
very
know.
Heston, actually. Yeah. Yeah. We should have spun it.
We should have blindfolded people and said, taste it, what is it?
Yeah, Jackson and Levine at the forefront of molecular cuisine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's this we're avant-garde. We're at the vanguard.
If chef table called again, they're just very annoying, you know.
Leave us alone already.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the book. The book, like I said before, it just exudes just fun and hospitality, and it looks like you had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
You know, with all there's pictures of, you know, you're having like your little roof picnic. Health and safety, by the way.
Go on.
You know, let's talk about health and safety in the book. There's a picture of them having a picnic on asbestos roof.
Sure.
You are in a negligee on a ladder hanging electric light bulbs.
That's a dress, okay?
Did you do your own... It's a negligee. Did you do your own stunt?
That's more a dress for church.
That was in a church. I'm not joking. That was in a church, and the rooftop picnic was on a church. She so came, actually, that feels fine.
She came down wearing that underwear. I came down wearing like a massive jumper and like high-waisted slacks for the same spread. She was like, ready! And I was like, really? Oh, ready! Oh. Yeah, and then you decided to climb 10 foot up a ladder. Yeah. We got that shot and then we like winched her down immediately. Yeah. We were like, we're going to break her.
Yeah, but you did it all yourself. There was no body doubles. You did all your own stunts.
She was on a wire.
That was a really good idea. Next, I'm going to ask for a body double.
Yeah.
No, it was like, I think it was, we worked with a really incredible team and everyone felt really comfortable. So we'd talk about what we were going to shoot that week. And obviously Alice and I were like, okay, if we're going to do a Spanish menu, let's think about something that's like a little bit flamenco. Let's like think about like a red or a nice kind of dress. Or so we'd kind of like use kind of buzzwords, and then we'd both come with our clothes and then we'd decide what to wear there and then. So it was quite...
So glamorous negligee dress, PJs.
Jogging bottoms and a woolly hat.
Different interpretations to the same room.
I can't even remember why I brought that dress now. I don't know.
It's gorgeous, and it's a gorgeous picture, actually. It's a beautiful picture.
You're right. I mean, when we had the picnic on the roof, that what you don't see is that we were going up quite a few kind of rusty, dodgy staircases, because that was that particular one was shot on the roof of Kristen Perez, who shot the book. She lives in a...
She's lovely.
She's amazing. Yeah. She, like, I mean, we have a bit of a major girl crush on her.
We did ask her to adopt us quite a few times, and she's... stops answering our calls.
It's pending.
Yeah.
She's a really wonderful woman.
Moved house, she's changed her address.
Yes, exactly. We can't locate her, weirdly. It's got promising out of office recently. Some of it, the book is shot in her vicarage. She is married to a vicar in Upper Clapton. They have this amazing Victorian vicarage. And so we sort of invited ourselves in.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't? Yeah. And so when we first started working with her, she invited us around for a cup of tea so we could talk through everything.
Well, no, we invited her. She was like, should we have a tea? Yes, what time at your house?
Yeah. Literally. When should we come and how long can we stay?
Yeah.
And then when we saw the place and we were talking about locations and every sort of shot we thought of, we were like, oh, we could do that at the vicarage. Or we could do that at the vicarage. And she was like, I thought you wanted to do loads at your house. It was like, yeah, before we saw your house. So we've done like a bit in
let's
the vicarage.
Let's mix it up
a
little
exactly.
bit.
Let's move
no,
in.
Let's not.
So a lot of it's at Laura's. That's where all the floral wallpaper is. Bits and bobs at the vicarage. And then Laura moved house midway through doing the book. So
very handy for locations.
We insisted upon it.
I can't believe how well that worked. Because obviously we had all of the supper clubs at the flat. So that felt really authentic to kind of where we started and the space that we had. And we had like this little kind of courtyard that we dressed for the book. And then we were like, why have we never done that for an actual supper club? It looks really great.
We should always clean the floor.
Yeah, we were like, people were sweeping. We were like... That's why it looks clean. Okay, I get it.
You should always put the hose away.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So it was nice to have that kind of, right, this is where we started. This is kind of like the space that we use for the supper club. And then the house with all the crazy floral wallpaper that's been there a really long time.
So it's not even retro. It's just was there from the
80s. Well, okay, it is retro. Yeah, it has been there for the woman who lived there. She didn't put it in. She was there for 40 years. So it's William Morris, and it's half of it's printed and half of it's hand-painted.
Really?
Yeah. But it's very overwhelming.
Proper stuff.
You go in and you're like, oh my gosh, my head. It's kind of quite intense. But it worked well for the cover.
Yeah.
So I can move now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Tick.
On right move if anyone wants to buy it.
The recipes in this book are kind of, not themed, but they're very, it's kind of like
occasions.
Dinner menus or occasions a little
yeah.
bit.
So it's divided into brunches, lunches and dinners, but each of those has a theme of an occasion. So a time when you might want to have people around and a time when you might want to put on a bit more of a spread than just grabbing a bit of toast as you run out of the door. So each of them is about making the most of having people coming around. Not necessarily taking ages or spending lots of money, but I think it's about enjoying that gathering. Because you don't always cook something really elaborate. We don't always cook something really elaborate. Tuesday night dinner, you just throw this into this and that into that, and that's always almost defrosted. Yeah, we'll have that. You know, that of course that's how we cook a lot of the time, but I think it's so nice to sort of demystify that idea of having lots of people over, because I think that can be so intimidating. And I think we both get intimidated by it.
Still?
Well, yeah, because I think there is that thing of you have to click your brain back into gear when you're suddenly like, it has to be perfect. And actually, you get stuck in that rut, and it doesn't have to be perfect. People haven't come round to your house to have a restaurant quality meal. Like, they haven't. They've come around to spend time with you, to have a glass of wine, to relax, to spend all evening chatting to you. That's, you know, people don't want you shackled to the oven. People want you to sat at the table having a nice time. People want you to have a sore head the next day with them. So as much as you want to show love by putting on a spread, it's about the evening. Like, it's about the night. So that's why the book is about cooking the food and setting the mood. Like, those two things are in equal importance,
yeah.
aren't they?
Well, to us, yeah.
Well, talking about setting the mood, they have a recommendation for playlists.
Mm.
And I was trying to picture in my head what happens at a dinner party, because you recommend Dirty Dancing, the soundtrack. And
that is the best one, by the way. I went on a trip.
Brilliant, it's genius. I didn't think about this.
We were listening to really, music, and no one was really chatting, and everyone was just like, oh, yeah. And I was like, can I put some music on? And they were like, yeah, okay. So it started, and the Dirty Dancing soundtrack started, and everyone started swaying and singing and talking to each other, and then it all of a sudden went from this really kind of straight, boring party to people on the tables, and by the time the soundtrack had finished, I must have had about four people's telephone numbers. Like, it goes down a treat because everybody knows it, and it really evokes happy emotions. It's even talking about it, I'm like, put it on.
This is what when I read through the list, I was like, oh, yeah. Dirty Dancing. how did I not think of that? Just like, you can just imagine, having, Hungry Eyes, the time of your life coming on. Losing their minds. Yeah.
Two of the best songs from that album there as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you know all of the songs on that album. There's never one
is it
skip
one
over.
Of those?
Yeah, it is. And Amelie as well. That's just sort of, if you want something that is a bit more kind of quite chilled and in the background and just kind of and just people go, oh, what's that? Because you recognise it, don't you? I do anyway. I've watched it far too many times.
I thought that was quite a good get out of jail, didn't we? Because you don't always have time to make a playlist or think of the perfect thing to put on. So soundtracks, someone's done the hard work for you. Someone's curated it for you, so that's fine.
Alice's is normally the Radio 1 soundtrack, which is
Ben
Bieber, Ed Sheeran.
I just play out one of my old radio shows. I just feel like that sets the mood perfectly.
With you in the background.
Yeah, with me in the background.
You make everyone go quiet. This is a really good bit.
Guys, I'm about to really hilarious.
No, listen to me now.
Guys, it's half past the time for the news. Just stop.
What's your kind of your winner? When you have a really awkward mix of people, when it doesn't flow as you want,
ooh,
how do you turn it around? This I'm asking as a professional waiter and restaurateur.
That's
the trick.
Laura's brilliant at this, because you're a good kind of, I think it starts at the beginning, firstly.
Yeah.
A drink has to be in someone's hand within the first however many seconds of them walking in. That is a good, everyone's, to be fair, got empty glasses because they drank them so quick. I think that's a good one. That's literally an icebreaker, because they've got a drink and people kind of find it easier to chat, obviously, once they've had a little bevy. And I think it sounds so obvious, but introducing people, you need one person to be that social glue, to be like, do you know this person? You should chat. Do you know that? You know, and it's hard to break that initially, but that's why Laura and I are there, because we are hosts, we're hosting. So I think you have to do a bit of that. You always refer to it as being Bridget
Jones.
Jones.
You know, she's like, Simon likes horse riding, Margaret likes apples. There you go. And it does kind of work. It's just one thing, and then you're like, oh, I like apples. I'm really keen on Granny Smith's. And then the ice is kind of broken, and you find common ground. And sharing place as well is a really good one. I think when you've got your own plate of food, you're very, like,
blinked.
Just on your own place setting. But when you have to share food, and you're like, oh, can you pass that? Well, I don't eat asparagus. Oh, you don't eat asparagus. And everyone's kind of
starts
talking.
But you do love apples.
Yeah, exactly. Margaret's great.
We discussed
great.
That.
Margaret sounds like a hoot. Yeah. You should always invite Margaret around.
And then, like, you know, going back to the alcohol thing, like, it's so bad. My friend said to me the other day that she went round for dinner at a friend's house, and she knows that she's a bit stingy with the old wine. And she was with her daughter. Her daughter's 18, and her daughter said, can I have a sip of wine? And she literally, like, handed it over really tight. She was like, one sip. Because she knew that she would only have one glass of wine all evening with dinner. And there's nothing worse than going around to someone's house thinking, oh, great.
She should have brought a bottle. She's
did,
the chip.
She
She's
did
the
bring a bottle.
Oh, that was
person,
the bottle.
Yeah, yeah. So, it kind of does go without saying, but I think sometimes you do need to say, don't you?
You can't bring a whole box. That's too obvious.
Yeah. A bag of wine. A bag of
come in, guys. Yeah.
So just making sure that people are kind of watered all evening, making people feel special and that you want them to be there. We've all been at people's houses when they start clearing up and you haven't even finished that last mouthful on your plate and they basically want you to leave. And you think, why are you inviting me around for dinner when you're washing up and you don't want me to be here?
Yeah, if you're relaxed, that's when you're going to have the best chat, you're going to have the best time. If you feel on edge for any reason, which is why we talk in the book about things that might seem separate from making people feel at ease, but like lighting and, you know, the way that you've, like, arranged the table, like, you don't want anybody to feel like they're out on their own somehow and physically cut off, because then they will be cut off from the chat. And we think about where we sit people too, so if we know who's coming, which we don't often with the supper club, because it's, you know, people that we've never met before, but if we've ever had a dinner where we know the guest list, we think quite hard about where we sit people, and we I suppose we do like to separate people sometimes, but it's not, we don't do that thing. I think at some dinners and some supper clubs, people arrive as a pair and they're sort of like stripped of their personal belongings. It's like, you go that way, you can't see each other all night.
It's like a wedding when you get separated, you think, oh my god, you're waving to each other across the room, like, hello,
texting.
So we don't really do that, because it's not supposed to be a punishment.
So now you have mastered the art of hosting.
Well,
you're both obviously going to marry ambassadors.
Sure.
With
a Ferrero Rocher.
Of course.
Kind of, pyramid. Yes.
Are you still doing supper clubs?
We do still do supper clubs, yeah. Laura's got to stop moving house, but yeah.
Are you still moving house?
No, I'm done now. I'm over it.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much. No, we did three for the book, Round to Ours. We had kind of like a press night, and then we had two supper club nights, which were really good fun. And then, yeah, I think we're going to do some towards the end of the year, all time permitting. It's been full on doing a book.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
I bet it was.
It's
how
hard.
Does it? How does it feel?
And I have spent ages writing it.
It took me a long time. Laura, you should read it. You'll really enjoy it.
Yeah. I looked at the pictures.
The pictures are best.
Life's too short. The pictures are great.
I've got it audio.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Like a podcast.
I just listen to this back and see what was going on.
And then that sounds really clever what I said. Yeah, it never happens to me when I listen to one of these.
But you do have these chats and you think, we should have put that in the book. Do you ever feel like that with recipes and things? You think, oh, should have put that in the book.
I'm just doing more books.
Just do more, yeah.
Are you going to do more books?
Can't think about that one. This one's only just come out.
It's a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants to get pregnant when they've just given birth?
Yeah, I think some people.
My mother did, actually. There's only 15 months between me and my sister.
Oh, yeah. Irish twins. This
we are Irish twins, yeah. And we are of Irish descent.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Do you love having a cookbook? You love cookbooks.
Yeah, we both love cookbooks. I mean, Laura reads them like novels, don't you? You read them cover to cover.
Sadly, you didn't, amongst your favourite cookbooks, you forgot to mention ours, but that's probably something in
that's
the editing.
That's a typo. Yeah, that's weird. We've had a lot of complaints about the publisher.
That was Alex's fault.
I'm sure.
Are you sure?
Or maybe it's like the list starting from second.
Yes. And you know the bit where I've written
third,
it in ink, in pen? It's actually printed. I've just written that in your copy.
But it's great to have one of your own. And it's doing so well. It's in posters. Did you see the poster on Warren Street? On Warren Street Tube? These girls.
No.
Do you see yourselves in the poster?
Really weird. Yeah. It's really weird, yeah.
It's weird and great. It's like, it's kind of... It's so tangible now, because when we were writing it, it didn't feel real. We were kind of exchanging emails between our publisher and our editor, and it just felt like these emails that were just going back and forward with words on, basically. And we did a lot of cooking, and it's, you know, it's quite stressful writing a book, especially having deadlines as an adult. It makes you feel like you're at school, which is awful when you get told this essay has to be in on this date, and you're like, oh. So actually when it came out and it was in print, like having something tangible and going, oh, these words are our words that we've written that are on this page, like that felt really nice.
Because we sat down one day, because you are, like with any project, you sit down at one point with a blank page. So we sat down at one point and we were like, we'd like to do something with peaches. You know what I mean? You have to start somewhere. So it feels like you're sort of plucking, because we'd done a lot of dinners together and we'd written a lot of menus together and we'd come up with lots of ideas. We were like, where do I start? I mean, we'd like to do... Maybe we'll do something with an avocado. Like, you just feel like you're just like plucking these ideas out.
Go to Sainsbury's, see what they have.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, coriander, anyone? Like, it's just, there's no how to on where to begin. And so I think we dilly dallied, didn't we, at the beginning for a long time about, like, oh, we could do this, we could do that. Which now I'm glad we did, because you only get to do your first book once. And I'm always so worried personally when I work at anything. You'll get to see it or get to hear it or get to look at it and you'll think, I really don't like it. And so when we got it, I was so overcome with relief that I loved it, because you, like Laura says, it's like you get PDFs and you get like this projection of how it's going to look, but it's not like holding it.
No.
And they gave us one when we first finished it where they'd stuck the cover on, like on, they'd printed it out on like printer paper and then stuck the cover on so we could see. And we didn't want to give it back. They were like, that's like a mock-up, girls. And we were like, no, we really want to keep it. Please don't take it away. They were like, there's only one in existence right now. And we were like, okay, you can have it back. But yeah, it's really, we're just so touched that you like it.
And I love it, yeah. Yeah, I really, really love it. I really enjoyed reading it. I so enjoyed cooking from it, because I found it, you know, every time we do these things, I really follow the recipes to the letter, except I didn't peel the tomatoes for the chicken.
And also you didn't put the...
Pistachio oil is not a thing. I'm sorry. It doesn't exist. I didn't peel the tomatoes.
Where's the thyme on those dates?
It's inside.
Okay, fine.
It's inside.
Look,
the recipe says.
Look at the picture.
See, I just exposed myself. I was about to say nice things, but now forget it.
Oh, don't.
No, really, I was cooking this all afternoon, and I was, you know, 5 things in an afternoon. It's not bad. Really enjoyed working with it. I thought the recipes, you know, are very clear and concise. They work. The result, as I said, is delicious.
I'm
congratulations,
so
you girls.
Thank you.
It being easy to follow is, I mean...
big for us.
Really big.
Yeah.
Because we're not professional food writers that have written recipes before, and we've now written a lot of recipes, and we do write about food. But to have you say that you can follow it and that it was nice to cook from, because even things like, it has a weird spine. I don't know if you've looked at it, but it lies flat. The book lies flat, and so that when you're cooking, it doesn't, you're not, you know, you were on page 75 and then it flips to page 126 and suddenly there's peas in your pavlova. Like, we didn't want that. So just like the fact that you found it easy to use is really nice, because we want it to be splattered with tomato sauce, and we want it to have like be a bit dog-eared.
Peeled
and,
tomato
yeah,
sauce,
we want, yeah, exactly.
We want pistachio oil.
We want it just coated in pistachio oil is what we want.
The future of Jackson and Naveen.
The future.
What's coming up next?
Well,
we don't know. It's too early.
We don't know necessarily. We just did our first collaboration with Habitat for.
No, that's amazing. Look at these girls. They're superstars, and the posters and in Habitat.
So that we really enjoyed.
And then they slam it in Honey and
Smoke. I know, exactly. Yeah. You've got to help the little people out there. Do you know what I mean?
Lift.
Well, we've just done textiles so far with them. We did like a table runner and napkins and placemats, and we did a really lovely apron. And we loved doing that, so we were saying to them, and they were saying to us, maybe the next thing isn't textiles, it's something else. So we don't know exactly what it's going to be yet, but we would like to do something else with them in kind of kitchenware and homeware. So that's the thing that we're going to work on.
And Laura Ashley has approached you.
And Laura Ashley wants us to do wallpaper for them.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be really great.
We still write a food column in Marie Claire, so that's always a big part of our sort of time together and what we do there.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but we really love it, because actually we've always written together. So we used to write for Elle, and we used to write for a magazine called Company when that was around. So it's actually a really lovely way of collating all the ideas we have, which is why we have always said to all the people we've written for, can it be a bit of this and a bit of that? Can it be this amazing place we've seen, but also this product that we love and this other thing? Because I think that's how we both think. So they're always quite mood boardy, our columns, and I think, well, hopefully that's how people like to consume
Jackson and Naveen.
How
do you like to consume your Jackson and Naveen today?
And I guess we still like, we started off going for lunch and eating out, and that's how we really did start. So that means we can still do that, but we can write about it, which is like really fun. And that our editor at Marie Claire is so lovely. We're like, we've got this really crazy idea, can we write about it? She's like, I love it, go for it. So that's kind of nice to have the freedom.
So basically, you approach her when she's on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. When she's distracted, always.
Yeah.
We're like, it's a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
She's like, what? Yeah, just leave
just
me alone.
Sign here, yeah. Does anyone have any questions, thoughts, feelings, or emotions that they want to share with the group? Now's your time.
Imagine if everyone's just furious. They're like, I'm just livid about this whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing is just...
Hi. Where did you get your inspiration for, like, the layout and the photography? Because I listened to Stir the Pot, and you mentioned that you... looked at artist books and maybe some fashion books or something. I was just wondering who inspired you visually.
Yeah, we wanted it to be somewhere between a cookbook and an art book in its design, because we wanted it to be an object that you could enjoy looking at, but also, like we just discussed, an item that you could
use.
A practical item.
Yeah.
There
wasn't really any books on the market when we were started writing that were doing lifestyle as well, that weren't Kirsty Alsop, that weren't kind of a bit kind of housewifey, you know. And I think that like books about museums and about artists are just like, I have an amazing book called Francois Hollard, which is like an incredible art book, which is textured at the front, which is where we got the idea for that, and it's embossed in gold. And just the feeling, like now, like with all of those exhibition books, like the way that the photography is laid out and the typology, Topography. I can't speak. It's like really, it's been really thought about. Like, there's a graphic designer that's worked on it for years and years, and it just feels like you're the only person that's got that book, and that's so special. And there wasn't a cookbook like that. But obviously we wanted it to sell, and we wanted it to kind of appeal to, we've always got like Sally in Manchester who we have to think about because we want her to buy the book. So it was kind of a meeting of...
And Margaret, of course.
And Margaret, of course.
Margaret's very discerning.
Yeah, not the asparagus.
So we wanted to have a book that was kind of about food and about lifestyle with amazing photos that was really kind of well placed. Mm-hmm. And then a book that you would really have on your coffee table and people would go, that's interesting, what's that? So, but we loved, Duck Soup came out just as we were starting doing photography stuff, so we really liked that. And Polpo was one of the kind of books that we looked at. And then there was a woman in America who cooks for Sunday suppers. Mm-hmm. So she started with a blog a really long time ago. And she does kind of photography and supper clubs in the studio in Brooklyn. She's incredible. And she had a menu book. So that's kind of where we got our inspiration about doing the menu. There was actually one of the book that was Nigella's Feast that had things in kind of occasions, but that was our USP to do something that was in the menus.
And you, like, we looked, when we were looking at things, you made a really fair point about it not having to be something dramatic. Like, it doesn't have to be like avant-garde for it to feel different to a cookbook. So it's just things like the layout of the photos, sometimes they were full bleed covering like the whole page across, you know, a double page spread, but sometimes they were like off kilter and left aligned, and then we just had loads of white space. Like, white space was a thing we talked about a lot, because actually that's a luxury in publishing, and suddenly it feels really luxe when you've got a page that doesn't have that much on, you know,
just
like
breathe.
Yeah, a picture can just sing, or the, like Laura says, the typography can just really really pop. So we were constantly pulling back, which is hard to believe because we've got such a like busy aesthetic on the cover. But yeah, I think we thought a lot about the layout, a lot, and we changed direction a lot of times. So,
and like, do you read any of the food mags, like Lunch On and things like that? Yeah, because they have really interesting, and actually we really
A la carte, you love
A la carte. But we looked at like Harper's Bazaar, because I don't know if anyone reads that magazine. Like, they've got really great illustrations, and it is quite girly, but there's things in that magazine and Lula that have got like really nice colours, and it felt girly without being too girly, and we wanted to inject our personalities into it, but we didn't want it to be
twee.
Yeah.
But the cover is a bit twee.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's tongue-in-cheek twee, I promise.
We don't want to be tweed.
This is why we went for the floral print
dresses. Yeah, exactly. So that's why we wore ridiculous flouncy frocks.
Yeah. My sister was in Waterstones, and a guy picked it up next to her, and she was like reading it. I don't know why. She must have been like arranging them, like putting them on the top or something. And this guy went,
she was shoving it into his hand. Take this book.
Buy it. Yeah. She's at the till, like that, handing them out. The guy opened it and went, ooh, this is a cookbook. I think that's kind of the, what we wanted, the noise that people to make, that they weren't sure whether it was a cookbook or a book about dresses. when we did the stylist cover, I was on an aeroplane and the woman sat next to me was reading it, and I just went to kind of tapped her on the shoulder and went, that's me, and she just looked at me and she went, oh. And I don't know what I wanted to say. I don't know if I wanted it to be like, oh well, congratulations, aren't you brilliant, but I was just so excited that someone else was reading it, because we had so many copies at home.
I did that at Don's. Some woman was picking the Honey & Co. book. I was like, that's my book! And she just like dropped it and ran. And I was like, hey, what am I going to do? It's like, more questions? Anyone?
The time on the ladder sounded pretty scary. Were there any other wobbly moments in preparing the book?
Ooh,
the whole thing was wobbly.
It was a wobble.
Wobbly moments? I'm trying to think. I mean, the deadline thing is a wobbly moment, because that thing of saying, that's it now, and we're pressing print, that's a really wobbly moment. And because our deadline was just before, it was near Christmas, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember over Christmas being like, is it too late? I've just realised I've done this thing on page 84. And like the publisher being like, we're on holiday, chill out, we'll talk in January. I was like, okay, fine. So that whole thing of it being finished, I found really, really hard. Just saying like, that photo is going to stay there, that text is going to stay there, and that's it now. And I still kind of find that, like, do you still look at it and be like, just nudge that a tiny bit left? And
making one decision, you can only have one colour for text, you can only have like one decision on everything, and you're never quite sure, are you? Like, you're not. There's always like a part of you that's like, and because we've got each other, then we either make each other go, right, yes, let's make a confident decision, or we go, oh God, have you done the right thing? And then we both text and worry about it, and then it's too late, so we can't really do anything about it. So just having one decision on everything was hard, and one decision when there's two heads as well, because obviously even though we think the same in a lot of ways, obviously we have different kind of creative visions, and we've had to kind of meet together and go, okay, let's do that.
Okay, Jackson can go first. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. Although you always say age before beauty, so it's like she wins on that.
Yeah, I can't think of a time when it was like that something scary happened. There were no horror moments. Apart from, we did have a day, in fact, in the inside cover that was particularly red hot day, and we shot the summer party spread. And we'd done jellies, and they were just like turning into this just pool of nothing, and so that was a bit hairy. And we'd done a mousse, a strawberry mousse, and you know, it's just like, this is just the worst day for everything we've chosen to do. And so everything was kind of...
So basically, the Jackson and Levine summer menu is fit for January.
It's fit for January, yeah. I mean, I would highly recommend it.
A cold, wintry day.
It's a brilliant, like, antipodean, you know, when it's summer here, make it in Australia. Yeah, it was just really, really... It's kind of what happened when we had our lemon tart disaster, you know.
No, don't say.
But we don't have sort of like 38-degree days very often, do we?
No.
And then we obviously choose to make pastry or whatever that day, but, I mean, what can you do? And it tastes... The thing is, it tastes great. The thing about shooting a book is, stuff has to look perfect.
Yeah.
I would never have it looking like that when I had people come round. But it tastes great, but it's like, the glisten on that jelly is not quite right. It's like, yeah, but... Tastes good, so it doesn't really matter. It's fine.
Doesn't work in a book, you know.
Doesn't work.
No,
yeah. Only has to look great once for the book.
Yeah, it's true.
We're quite lo-fi, really, so we do make stuff look really pretty. But actually, in the book, it's the same. It's quite rough and ready. There aren't many things that are like, measure this out and make sure you've got the mould for this and that it's like perfect. You know, with this, we don't do jus and froths and this. You know, like this kind of garnish, do we? We're quite slapdash, really. So.
Well, everything I made came out really good looking, so no problems there.
Well, we'll have to take some pictures and try harder for next time.
Yeah, I'm available there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So you said about your supper clubs, and you said obviously it's quite scary if you're turning up and you don't know, you're being separated as a couple, you're being split up and you're on your own. But you guys are hosting, and that's quite brave. Like, how do you select the people who are coming? How do you make sure they're not going to run off with the family silver?
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
It's first come, first serve. And because we did it on an email system, it was literally the first 16 people that emailed. And actually, it kind of got a bit... That was quite stressful, managing all of your friends, say, what? I just have a ticket. Well, I just come round. It's like, we can't just come round because we're doing a thing that's not like... It's not you coming round for dinner. Or the first one we did, we invited friends and friends of friends. And people were in the kitchen trying to wash up. We're like, no, sit down, enjoy the evening.
You paid for this.
Yeah. But just doing it in, like, affairs fair, the first people that email, and then saying to the first 10 after that, we'll put you on the reserve list, and just trying to kind of organise it.
But there's no
time.
Way of, I mean, we've just been lucky that everyone's been really nice, and you hope that people who are like-minded and enjoy, you have to be quite adventurous, I think, if you're going to buy a ticket for a supper club, go somewhere that you don't know.
And don't
know the menu. So already that sort of whittles people out who maybe aren't up for the challenge of what, you know, of what that poses. But we've just been so lucky that nobody, we just haven't had a moment where we thought, oh God, Brian's still here, get rid of him. Margaret's still here.
You're Uber, Margaret.
Yeah.
Oh, Margaret, I think someone's calling you. Lock the door. We've had people who've come on their own, which poses like a different, not problem, but like, you know, we have to make sure we look after people. And the idea is that you have, we always like to think of it as somewhere between a dinner party and like that local restaurant that you go to where they know your name and they, you know, treat you like a regular and they go, oh, it's your usual drink. We want that feeling where you feel completely at ease and completely welcomed. So we just try a bit harder if people have come on their own. We just make sure that they know that there's someone nice to talk to, and we are there for that. So like, people do often come in the kitchen, don't they, and go like, oh, feeling a bit nervous, you know, we're like, oh no, just, you know, come out.
There you go, pour your drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Come on,
now it's
go.
Better. Yeah.
Here's a double gin and tonic. Yeah. Go and chat with somebody. Find someone that likes apples.
So you didn't have like any psycho random.
No, not yet.
Well, you know,
it is. You're welcome to come on.
No, we haven't. We actually had we had two boys, didn't we? Two really sweet boys who came all the way from Birmingham.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we've come from Birmingham. And we were like, oh, why are you in London? They were like, for this. And they'd stayed in a hotel and they'd come for dinner.
We were like, oh my God, we've got to make this good. don't order the pizza. Make this correct. Yeah. Just have a really good time.
We're not going to burn them.
You're right. For this?
Yeah. We were like, honestly, we were like, oh God.
They were the life and soul of the party, though. People were going, they come from Birmingham.
These guys are great. Yeah. Keep them.
Our mascots.
Yeah. So that's a good question.
If anything, we've been really lucky, and we've had people who've like met because they have come on their own. They've sat next to each other. They've then exchanged numbers, not in a romantic sense, but like got up on. Has that happened?
Yes, my dear.
You said when you started off, you went to loads of restaurants. I was wondering if you had any favourites, or if you had any more on your radar that you wanted to go to.
After honey and spice, and then you want to break.
Have we covered them all? Like, oh God,
I think like Duck Soup again is a really good one, and Rochelle, and like the Rochelle canteen, like Arnold and Henderson do amazing catering, as well as Honey and Co, which do fabulous catering.
Well, mitzvahs for corporate functions, breakfast, everything
available.
Like, we love eating out. Like, all we do is like, I mean, I can't even, it's I'd feel embarrassed to tell you how many times I've eaten out in the last week. I really would, but like, that's my vice, and I think it's Alice's as well. And we also collect menus from every restaurant that we go to, but like,
cutlery. Wasn't there a thing like with the Quaglino's ashtrays that everyone would steal them? And the
Oaxaca spoons. Do you remember that they had an outcry for the Oaxaca spoons?
Really?
Yeah, everyone stole the plastic dessert spoons, and then when you went to eat, I eat Oaxaca far too much. There's like little signs. They used to give you little post-it notes saying, "Look, it's okay if you've taken a spoon. Just bring it back."
I think they just gave that to you.
I was like, "Oh,
did it say Laura on the note?"
But it did.
It was handwritten. Yeah. It had your address on it.
I want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank these girls for coming to talk to us. You should get this book. It should be in your lives. It should be in your homes. After that, we're going to feed you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our menu for this evening is tea and mint crostini, goat's cheese and honey thyme dates, roast cauliflower with almonds, spiced olive and lemon chicken, and salted caramel brownies. Enjoy.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Honey & Co. We hope you enjoyed it, even if you didn't get to try the food. I promise everything was absolutely delicious. There are some wonderful guests coming up in the next few weeks and will be available to download. So make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, and please leave us a review if you can. That'll be really, really great for us. This show is expertly produced by Hester Kant, with recording assistance from the lovely Hannah Phoebe Bowen. Music by the great Ellis Russell. If you want to come along to one of our talks, you can join our mailing list on our website, honeyandco.co.uk, or follow us on our social media at Honey & Co. Get to work together. Hunger.
Got to work together. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.